All right. So much for the peasantry. We now need to move on to the nobility. And I think we have to start here with the question of what makes you a noble in early modern France. And oddly enough, what makes you a noble is the fact that your neighbors think that you're noble, that they agree that you look like a noble, you act, and you live like a noble. Now, in law, nobility is a hereditary status. It's defined by law. It seems to have become fixed sometime in the 13th to the 14th centuries, and it imparted not only social status, but crucially all kinds of legal privileges, including virtual exemption from taxation. It was very nice for the aristocracy. In theory, the nobility are men who have received land from the king, in exchange for which they provide military service. This is at least the medieval theory. The nobles also derived their income from the land. They were not, as it turns out, allowed to engage in commerce or finance. For them to do so was considered dishonorable, and it would entail a loss of their nobiliar status, a fate called dérogation in 16th century France. Now, if the aristocracy is going to derive its income from the land, it's got to own some land. It has to own, the aristocrats have to own some kind of a landed estate, the equivalent of the English manor, which in France is called a seigneurie. Most of the land of a seigneurie was worked by peasant tenants who paid fixed cash rents. But a sizable minority of the land was retained in the lord's domain, and it was leased out to affluent tenants, the rural rich that we talked about earlier, often under sharecropping arrangements. The rent and the conditions of these large blocks of domain land lease were alterable at the end of each lease. That made them quite different from the small holdings on which the peasants paid customary rents, which were fixed by tradition. What this meant, in other words, because the details of agricultural tenancy are not enormously interesting to most people, is that the most important parts of a landlord's holdings could be manipulated to increase the income that came from them. What that meant, in other words, was that most nobles were able to increase their income from leasing parts of the domain significantly faster than the rate of inflation itself. The only reason that this matters, in case you're wondering, is that there had at one point been the theory that the French aristocracy, like a lot of European aristocracies, is going bankrupt and is faced with the danger of oblivion during the 16th century. Recent research has confirmed that this is certainly not the case, at least as a class. The nobility more than held its own. There may have been individual families who rose, who fell, but there were plenty of families who rose in their place. And as a class, the nobility is not going anywhere in 16th century France. On the other hand, when we talk about rising or falling nobles, this brings us to the question of old nobles and new nobles, because during the later 15th century and during the 16th century as well, there was a steady infusion of new families into the French nobility. Indeed, without this kind of an infusion, the French nobility wouldn't have survived. It would have died out. It's an odd historical pattern that most elites, most aristocracies, tend not to reproduce themselves. And it was quite rare in France for a nobiliar family to maintain itself with a direct male heir for more than four generations. Just to give you an example, a study's been done in Provence, in southern France, with a sample of 108 families. And of 108 families in the year 1550, less than a third had been noble since the beginning of the 15th century. Or to take another example, in the Beauce, the area around Paris in the year 1500, just only about a fifth of the nobiliar fiefs were owned by families who had been nobles for a century or more. Now, if you can become noble, this raises the question of how you go about doing that. And I think it's worth stressing that there are multiple routes into the nobility in 15th and 16th century France. We can talk about three main routes. First of all, through military service. If you're a successful general, you distinguish yourself on the battlefield, you can be knighted by the monarch there. Second of all, if you own a fief, if you own a seigneurie, you can derive nobiliar status from that. And since a seigneurie can be bought and sold, that's a door in as well. Finally, you can also hold a particular kind of public office. It's usually a judicial office, which imparts by its very nature the status of nobility to the holder. Now, regarding getting into the nobility by buying a seigneurie, buying a fief, there's an awful lot of evidence to show an almost invasion of the rural seigneurie by the urban middle class in the era immediately preceding the French Wars of Religion. In one area to the south of Paris, something like 52 out of 65 lay seigneuries changed hands in the period between 1410 and 1560, and almost all of them passed either to commoners or to commoners who had most recently been ennobled. Now, this most certainly does not mean, this has to be stressed, this does not mean the replacement of the nobility by the bourgeois. On the contrary, what it represents is a kind of noblification of the bourgeoisie, if you want to think of it that way, a kind of rejuvenation of an aristocratic class by wealthy people from the bourgeoisie who now cease to be bourgeois.